Welcome back to the playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. Michigan, they won yesterday. It was glorious. 27-20 in overtime, just like they wanted to. The Miz, Tony O, Jacob, little brother of Josh Babbitt, who just got married. Congratulations to him and his new wife. Well, his only wife. I don't believe he was married before, other than to the station for a few years, but he finally left.
Yeah, it's a long-term relationship.
And he's now a sheriff for what county, and will you be following in his footsteps?
Sheriff of Macomb County.
And will you be the next Macomb County Sheriff soon?
I keep getting recruited by, because now he works there.
Yeah.
My dad's worked there for, I think, 25 years now.
Right.
My cousin was working there, and about, like, 800 family friends or people that we know work there. So
right.
I literally don't stop hearing about when am I coming over there.
Yeah.
Right.
So if this radio thing doesn't pan out, then probably.
All right. So if Michigan keeps winning, Jacob Babbitt will stay here. If they don't, he will be leaving after what, basketball season?
Baseball. I think baseball and softball.
Baseball and softball.
Got to stick around for that.
Yes, because you do love the Michigan baseball and softball teams. That is correct.
The baseball.
Also, his favorite thing, the Easter egg hunt.
That's his favorite. Absolutely.
That they have there.
The commentary for it is the best commentary ever.
Straight fire. All right, let's get back into this game. 27-20, Michigan beats Indiana. You knew that. Right now, how many teams, Jacob, how many teams in the big, of all the Division I teams right now have zero or one loss?
Zero or one? I'm assuming you know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I would ask that if I didn't.
Maybe, I'll guess 20.
Wrong. Tony O?
Zero or one, 16.
Wrong.
I'm going to 24.
Close. Miz was the closest. 27. Right now, 8 undefeated teams, 2 that have 7-0 records, 4 that have 6-0, and then 2 with 5-0. Then there are 19 teams with at least one loss or less than one loss.
Yeah, this weekend was crazy.
Yeah, so a lot of teams, a lot of those top teams lost. Made sure not to bet this weekend. I'm a betting man, but I stayed away, and I think maybe for the best, because somewhere along those, you're going to end up losing a lot of it, a lot of money, and I stayed away this week. So that was good. Good for me, so I won.
Smart.
I won by not losing.
Yeah, smart. You're the winner.
Right, you can't lose if you don't play.
It sounds like a good segment, a winner and a loser segment.
We might do that later.
Ooh.
All right, so Higdon, 25 carries for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did you guys think those were broken plays as well? Jacob, did you think that was a broken, the couple of those touchdowns? He ran away from where the play was actually supposed to go?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, the overtime touchdown, he ran into one of his offensive linemen and then bounced it out and took it to the end zone. I remember them interviewing him during the post game about it. And so I think that one was the one that stands out to me in terms of broken plays. But there were a couple of times where, he was able to get outside, was able to bust some big runs, and it really helped this team. I mean, again, going for 200 yards, it's huge, huge what he did yesterday.
Right, last one was Denard Robinson years ago. Tony O, broken plays, and what's your thoughts about the running game, especially with Higdon?
Yeah, I thought, the running game and Higdon was really the only bright spot on the offense yesterday.
So there was a bright spot.
There was. Running 203 yards, with an 8-yard average, that is a good day for Kron Higdon. And so you have to credit to that. And 3 touchdowns. And he, in overtime when we needed them, he scored. But I do think that, there were quite a few, especially the longer runs, I felt like were unbroken plays. But again, we as Michigan fans have seen a number of running backs in the past run directly into just a mass of bodies. So it's really nice seeing them run away from the mass of bodies now.
All right. Miz, your thoughts on Higdon, his day yesterday in the running game?
Yeah. I can tell you at least that overtime touchdown he had, it was definitely a broken play. I can't remember which offensive line lineman they talked to after the game. That he said, yeah, I blocked the wrong way, but Kron, he saved me. He bounced back the other way and he took it to the house. It's good to see that the run game, it shined, especially with Higdon. I mean, Ty Isaac had a decent day, 38 yards, averaging 5.4, and Kareem Walker only had one run, but
that's all he's allowed.
Yeah. So, it's like the guys did decent. Chris Evans, that was probably the only, blemish on the running game for Michigan. But, for the most part, I think Michigan did a great job on the ground, and we'll just see how that works out going into next week.
Well, let me ask you this then. We'll go around all three of you. Uh-huh. Go backwards. Miz, you're up first. Should they just have Higdon? I mean, Isaac maybe sparingly, Evans every once in a while. Should Higdon be the guy in the backfield? Is that the guy we want to see every down pretty much?
I think if you sprinkle in a little bit of Ty Isaac and maybe Chris Evans as well, but I think for the most part, I think you found your workhorse in Caron Higdon, yeah.
Antonio, your thoughts?
Well, I would say yes, but let's not forget this was Indiana. So
it was.
I think, you know, it's possible that some games, you know, in the future, you know, maybe Ty Isaac will be the better back. So I'm not entirely like, you know, being against the running back by committee at this point, but next week I think Caron should definitely get the most carries to start.
Yeah, I do as well. I think Isaac, there's a few times where he just ran into the backs because there was no hole there, couldn't find anything. Yes, he did go for 5.4, not bad. Evans, yeah, I had a bunch of loss, you know, what, his best was 10, 8 for 21, and then you got to take all those loss, you know, 6 yards. So he ends up going 8 attempts for 5 yards, but as long as it was 10, so obviously some backward yards there. But, I think Higdon deserves it because he's seeing holes that aren't there and going the other way from him, getting away from him, so might be the best for him. Let's go to that receiving corps. Oh, on fire were they. 4 receptions by, DJP, right? No, Peoples-Jones. Backwards. He had 34 yards, 4 receptions. 17 was his longest. Gentry had 2 for 15. Wheatley had 4. I'm glad to see him on the team finally. Crawford had 3 yards. I believe he had a bunch of penalties too. And then McKeon had 2 yards. 58 yards for that receiving. And then there were some penalties in there mixed in. What did the receivers need to do to help them get better for next week? Anyone want to answer? I won't even throw it to anyone. Jacob, your thoughts.
Well, the one big thought that I had, it was probably one of the bigger plays that, you know, Michigan had is when DPJ, he made a huge catch on 3rd down, which ended up keeping a scoring drive alive for Michigan. I believe they took it down for 6. So he made a tough play when O'Korn he got swallowed up in the backfield and somehow escaped and kind of ran out and tossed it to DPJ. And that was a huge touchdown for them. I think that was in the first half. That was probably the best play from that wide receiving core. Again, they really didn't get too many opportunities. It did have some drops. Nothing too stellar. If you have 58, you know, passing yards, it's definitely not jumping out at you, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what exactly the receiving core has got to do. I mean, do they have to, you know, figure out what they did? Like I said earlier, do they have to try to figure out what they did in that, you know, that last minute of play in the fourth quarter against Michigan State kind of thing, where they've got to try to, you know, hope that there's a lot of zone reads where they can hope that the secondary, you know, basically has cement feet and just find the open spot on the field and just go that way? Do they got to look at the shorter attack, not go for the deep ball? Because there was a couple of times where O'Korn had, you know, the right amount of protection to at least hit the deep ball, but, you know, he was throwing into double coverage. So that was one of the big things.
Sorry about that. Tonio?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's at some point, part of the blame is on O'Korn for not getting the ball to them. Part of the blame is on them for either not catching it or not being open. So I don't know. I haven't been that impressed in any game so far. This game was no different.
All right, so Indiana played Ohio State, Penn State so far. Michigan, you know, obviously they almost got, you know, I think they were leading in one of those games. And then yesterday they almost got Michigan as well. But I look at it as, obviously, maybe we need to run some pick plays. We saw Indiana do it yesterday where you have some crossing routes. Hopefully you have those guys mix each other up, and then instead of switching off each other and staying with that receiver or go ahead and switching off, I think Michigan needs to run some of those. As we've talked about in the past, some screens maybe underneath and hope that you can have that one-on-one, and hopefully you beat that one-on-one defender. And then also, I go back to O'Korn. There was a few times where there were some open receivers yesterday that he did not see whatsoever, and because of that, that's going to hurt you too, because if you look across the field and you see that open receiver, obviously you're going to throw it to that guy. He just, the progression across what he tried to fit it into too many small holes, which I think it grew. The box grew a little bit bigger compared to Michigan State, where he was just throwing it downfield and he was like, all right, it's you versus them. Good luck. And that's why he had the 3 interceptions. This week, I don't believe it was as bad, but obviously, yes, he did miss some guys. But Yeah, I say some pick plays, some screens, and then let your speed, your talent versus talent, hopefully your guy can get away from that one guy and then get down the field. Because obviously that's what I think teams are going to do now. Like Miz said, they're going to load the box and then make those safeties. You got to beat that safety, and if you do it, it's going to be a big play. If you can't, they're going to catch you, and it's going to be 2-3 yards, if that. All right, defensively, what a great game by the defense. I thought they did very well, and they had to make that last stand to really stop Indiana from sending it to another overtime, which might not have been a good thing for Michigan. So Devin Bush, 8 tackles, played a great game. There's a few times where it seemed like he was the spy on the quarterback, whichever one they used, for most of the game. He was the guy standing in the middle waiting. But there's other times where he was a cornerback. Other times he was blitzing. I really like what they're doing with Devin as one of those guys that can just be all over the field. But he seemed like he was a spy for this game, as we saw in the week before. There was no spy, and sometimes Lewerke was able to get past people. And it was kind of like in the game of Madden where that defender, instead of just turning upfield and seeing, hey, that guy has the ball, I should get him, he was still chasing down the receiver that had no chance because Lewerke was already past the line of scrimmage. So I like to see that they finally put a spy on a guy who may run, which was Ramsey. Rashawn Gary, he was having a good time yesterday. 7 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 13 yards, and also had a sack. All Big Ten, you guys think, for Gary?
And Bush. And probably Winovich, too, honestly.
You think Chase?
I think so.
Yeah, I think Chase, definitely. Rashawn, if not All Big Ten, Big Ten second team, without a doubt.
Anyone close to being All-American on this defensive side? I mean, they're near the top.
Chase is, to be honest with you, I think Chase is probably the only one close to be All-American. Devin Bush is up there as well, too. But I think that might be about it.
Yeah, I think Bush might be one of the better linebackers in the Big Ten, at least. All-American, I could totally see for him. Maybe him a little bit more than Winovich, but that's just me.
All right, yeah, it seemed like Mo Hurst, those guys were getting... I mean, there's times where he was just throwing it anywhere, to the ground he could, because they had hiked the ball, and it was like almost like they were letting them through. That's how fast they were getting back to the quarterback and Ramsey yesterday. And it was just laughable if you're only watching, if you're only watching Indiana offense versus Michigan defense. It was laughable to see these guys just at will be able to get through. Now, later in the game, it seemed like when Michigan had worn down, it was harder for them to get through and get to Ramsey as quick. But they still were doing a great job by that front line. Mo Hurst was getting through. Gary was getting through. And we saw, that's going to be a meme. I saw it when I saw it on the broadcast when he was doing he's dancing on the sideline. Seating dancing, my favorite dance, where you sit down and dance. Miz, you love that one?
That's my favorite dance.
That's my favorite. So I believe, the Gary one where he just, whatever song they were playing in the stadium, he was just jamming out to. And he had himself a day yesterday. And then... there's penalties by the defense as well. McCray looked a little banged up. I'm a little afraid that he's going to be a little more banged up as the year goes along. We'll have to watch out for him as far as, we want to keep him on the field. But if he's too banged up, let's make sure we find someone else to get out there. Long made some great play, had 2 tackles, had 0.5 sack, also made some, penalties as well to keep their drive going. Hudson the same way. Yes, that's your defense. Pretty good defense. Best in the Big Ten?
Best in the country.
Best in the country.
I'd say top 5 in the country, but definitely best in the Big Ten.
Tonio, you can't nod. People can't hear you.
Yeah, I'd say best in the Big Ten and probably, top 5.
Top 3?
Top 5.
Top 5, all right. Yeah, I'm going to say in top 3. I don't know where the stats say, but... I guess we're going to all find out where they stand next week against Penn State. Because, Indiana's done with. I'm glad to see them get back because I think if they would have had another loss, their season would have – it didn't matter who they played next. They were just going to be down on themselves too much. So I just think that this win is going to help them against Penn State and through on down the road because we know these kids can bounce back after a loss, and that's what they need to do. Is they are a young team. Is they are a very young team. And I said this before the preseason – or in the preseason, that just because Ohio State did what they did with all the young kids they had last year didn't mean that Michigan was. But they are getting better week by week on both sides. Offensively, I thought the line held better this week. Defense was still being defense. Obviously, O'Korn, game manager, I thought he did enough. But obviously, we can't just – for some reason in third quarter, it seems like we don't show up. Like after halftime, it was like they didn't come out at halftime. If you remember that drive, I know we're all trying to forget it because it was kind of fast and they scored. And it was not good enough. So big keys. You have Quinn Nordine still killing it. Brad Robbins, 9 punts yesterday, 367 yards, 3 within the 20, 1 touchback. You need these guys to excel. You know, and that, if you don't have Brad Robbins, Quinn Nordine, there's probably going to be other losses on this on so far in the 6 games.
And I thought Robbins did a really good job punting yesterday because Indiana, their punt returner, Jayshon Harris, 2 punt return touchdowns already this year. I think the rest of the Big Ten has 2 combined. He had one big return, I think it was for like 50 yards, but they really did a good job punting away from him. I think he only had 2 other returns aside from that. So I thought that was really big because, you know, Harris is a guy that can flip the field just like that. And he's shown that all season. He showed that on that, you know, 50 yard return. But I thought Robbins did a good job staying to the sidelines for the most part and keeping the ball out of his hands.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You got to have these guys. You know, when your defense is out there and you're going to go 3 and out, which Indiana's at the top of all the Division I at doing, you know, as many 3 and outs as they've had so far. And they've played some top teams, Ohio State, Penn State, now Michigan. So obviously they knew how to do it. And you got to have a punting game that works. And yesterday, Brad Robbins did very well. Then Quinn Nordine, the 2-for-2 and field goal, those points are on the board. We're talking about a loss. All right, when we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. I'm going to take another break. I'm going to get on my knee. Can I get the trainers out here just to check on us?
Media timeout.
We'll get the guy with the red hat out on the field. And when we come back, you have more of the playground here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The Ticket.